Canto 28. Even with fluent words and with the tale told often, who could tell of all the blood and wounds that I now saw? All tongues would fail for certain. Overwhelmed with such a flood of fact, our speech and memory can stand only so much. If all those stricken folk in southern Italy, that fateful land, who once bewailed their bloodshed by the stroke of Trojan sword, could only be one band again. But they knew also the long war with Carthage. When the golden Roman rings were piled in heaps by Hannibal, a store that Livy notes, true always in these things, and if to all of these were added more, the ones who suffered grievous blows when they resisted Robert Guiscard, and all those whose bones at Ciperano to this day still lie in heaps, and everybody knows the southerners broke faith. And it was hard. By Tagliacozzo that Alado won purely by strategy, his troops unscarred, but on his victims fearful work was done. And if some were to show limbs that were cut, and others were to show the limbs they lost, it would be horrible and endless, but nothing beside the mess that had been tossed to fester in the ninth ditch. Not a cask, through loss of endboard or of stave, could gape like one I saw, who from below the mask of pain that was his face but held its shape, was torn wide open right down to the crack that farts. Between his legs his entrails hung, intestines on display, and the foul sack that turns the food we swallow into dung. While I was all eyes, he looked back at me, and with his hand he further spread his breast, saying, "Behold, I split myself. You see Mahomet mangled, and there go the rest before me. First Ali, my son-in-law, his face from chin to forehead sliced in two, then everyone who in the life before sowed scandal, schism, and therefore must do time twice. Thus we who split things are now split. There is a devil in behind us here, who cruelly cares for us, and sees to it that all who make the circuit and are near to healing as they come around again with closing wounds on this sad thoroughfare will meet the cleaving sword's edge there and then in front of him. But who are you up there, who lingers on the ridge? Do you delay in fear of penalties for what you are accused of?" "Neither has he reached the day of death," my master said, "nor yet by far does guilt bring him to torment. But to give him full experience, he must be brought down here by me, I who no longer live, but know the way through hell from its forecourt through circle after circle to the end. And as you hear me speak, this is as true." More than 100 heard this from my friend, and stopped to look at me, their wonder too intense for pain to be remembered. "Soon, perhaps, you'll see the sun again. Tell Fra Dolcino, then, that down here where the moon gives all the light, he surely won't be far behind me if he doesn't stock supplies of food against the fall of mountain snow that just might give Novara the surprise victory it shouldn't have." All set to go, with one foot raised, Mahomet said all that, then set it on the ground and left. Then one with pierced throat, nose cut off exactly at the eyebrow's bottom line, and one ear done away with, stopped with all the rest to gaze in wonder. And before them all he cleared his windpipe, which outside wore a red glaze, and said, "In one piece you have here appeared. For guilt does not condemn you that I met, unless too close a likeness tricks my brain, above in Italy. Please don't forget, if ever you return to the sweet plain that from Vercelli slopes to Macabo, Piero da Medicina, make it known to Fano's two chief men, make sure they know Guido and Angiolello. They'll be thrown out of their ship and drowned. This comes to pass near La Cattolica through treachery of a foul tyrant. No crime of this class was ever seen by Neptune in the sea from Cyprus to Majorca, whether done by pirates or by Greeks. That traitor who sees with one eye, the young mastiff that none can challenge now in Rimini, and you already know that someone here would like not to have seen that city, will contrive to bring them to a meeting, and then strike in such a way that they will not arrive, nor need to pray against Foccara's gale, that deadly wind they'll never have to face. And I, point out to me, and tell his tale, the one for whom the mere sight of that place, Rimini, was so bitter. Give me this, if you would have me carry back your news into the world. Not minded to dismiss a threat to all that he had left to lose, he reached out sideways to another's jaw and forced it open, crying, "Here he stands, and does not speak." Expelled from Rome by law, he fled to Caesar in the Gallic lands, and told him that delay for one prepared meant loss, and he should cross the Rubicon. And by that bad advice, war was declared, and glory won, but unity was gone. The Tribune Curio, and how aghast he seemed, his tongue slit in his throat, the man who spoke so boldly back there in the past. But now, with both hands missing, one began to lift his torn stumps through the murky air, so blood besmirched his face that said, "You will remember Mosca also, who was there in Florence to say something fit to kill the members of two families, one his own." "A deed that's done is over," so I said, and should be here for saying that alone. For still today the Tuscans count the dead. I added, "Death to all your stock," at which, with sorrow heaped on sorrow, off he went, crazy with grief. But I stayed in the ditch to watch the ruined people, how they spent their time, and then I witnessed such a sight as I would fear to tell of, had I not more facts held in reserve than I now write in my account of it. But I have got my conscience here to bolster me, the good companion that can render a man bold under the breastplate of his pure manhood. I saw, and seem to see still. All I've told is true, and this is too, a headless thing that walked with all the rest of the sad band. It held its severed head by the bunched string of its own hair, and swung it with its hand as if it were a lantern. The head stared at us, and, "Woe is me," was what it said. A light unto itself, the two were paired, the shining lantern and the bright-eyed head, finding a path as only he would know who governs. When it reached us at the bridge, where we stood so high, so it was just below, it exercised its awful privilege, and raised its head high with its arm, and so its words were nearer to us. These were they. "See now my grievous punishment, you there who breathe and look as you go on your way upon the dead. See if just one despair can match mine. And so you may tell one day my news. Know now the man that I once was, Bertrand de Born, noble and troubadour, Henry, young king of England, just because of my bad counsel, made unlawful war against his father. When Ahithophel wickedly goaded Absalom to fight against King David, he did no more well. Because I parted two that had the right to crowns, I carry now my brain through hell. But sundered from the corpse that was its root, for such a crime, the punishment to suit.